And welcome to the 75th Chamber. This is Mike. I want to thank you for tuning in to our 16th episode. If you don't know by now, if you search for 75th Chamber Podcast, you will find our Twitter, Facebook, and Teespring. Please follow and share with your friends. As I start this podcast, I really have no title for it. I have absolutely no direction on which way it's going to go. Kind of like how we feel about our country right now. We don't know where it's going. So we all know that my favorite word is fuckery. So we're going to talk about as much fuckery as possible. And trust me, if you're looking at the news, you will see there is a lot of fuckery. So let me start with the coronavirus, because I don't think people understand that this is still a threat to us. Just because you went back to work and the mall opened up and your salon opened up, it doesn't mean that the virus went away. Worldwide, we are over 10 million infected. Sadly, there's 474,000 that died. Granted, it's a low number, but none of us want to become part of that statistic. I find it crazy that nobody wants to talk about the fact that we are seeing the highest numbers right now since coronavirus has been detected. The death chart is going down, and I hate to say it's a good thing because people died, but it does show that the virus might not be as potent at this time. We're not sure if that's the case, but as long as we can keep that number down to a minimum, I think that we're getting somewhere. As for the U.S., we're seeing about 30,000 cases a day. Yesterday, California saw over 5,000. Texas saw over 5,000. Florida saw close to 3,000. Arizona, over 2,000. And this isn't the second wave. Just because you opened up states doesn't mean that cancels out the first wave. You have to get past the first wave before you get to the second one. I'd like to know how many of these new patients are actually protesters. Are these test results from a week ago? I'd like to know. I think that should be a statistic that on its own. But last week, Trump had one of the best ideas on how to lower these statistics.
Again, our testing is so far advanced, it's so much bigger and better than any other country, that we're going to have more cases. We're always going to have more cases. And as I said this morning, that's probably the downside of having good testing, is you find a lot of cases that other countries who don't even test don't have. If you don't test, you don't have any cases. If we stop testing right now, we'd have very few cases, if any. We will show more cases when other countries have far more cases than we do. They just don't talk about it.
In my opinion, that is fucking genius. I mean, crime can go down if we just don't report it. I mean, pretty much fuck any statistic there is. Just don't report it, and it won't happen. Now I'm reading that the antibodies you build up after you have COVID only last 2 to 3 months. So just like in Sweden, the herd immunity is gonna fail. And it never would have worked in the US anyways, so I don't even know why people are continuing to try to do it. There are two countries that are not reporting their coronavirus cases. One is the communist state of North Korea. The second is similar to North Korea, the country of Chop, formerly known as Chaz, formerly known as downtown Seattle. If you don't know much about Chop, aka Chaz, I would suggest going back to episode 15 where I cover a lot of it. It is the autonomous zone in Seattle that the communists took over for themselves. They call it a no-cop zone. It reminds me of every single Walking Dead commune they ever walked into. It was built as a place for black people to live without fearing police. They kicked all the policemen out, and they made their own border, something they're against. And they made their own police force, something they're against. And the mayor, she loved it. She says that it's going to be the summer of love down there. But even though that they made it for the black people, it was all these communist whites. They were all down there speaking for the black man, thinking that they know what black people go through every day. They even made segregated gardens, even though that they're against segregation. And they actually kicked out Black Lives Matter members that went down there to tell them that they have lost focus on the message. But recently, violence erupted, and I'm not sure how. They have their own police force. They're carrying long guns. They have illegal magazines. They should be able to protect their area, right? Actually, no. This weekend, a 19-year-old man was shot and killed. A 33-year-old man was shot and critically wounded. The next night, a 17-year-old was shot. Luckily, he was shot in the arm and he didn't suffer serious injuries. But here's the craziest part. When Seattle police heard about the shootings, they rushed to the zone to help the lives of these people. About 8 cops went in with shields, no helmets, no nothing, just shields and mace. They were met by large crowds that forced them out of the zone. There was no way that the police could help save these individuals' lives. They weren't able to secure a crime scene. These cases will never be solved thanks to the people of CHOP. But already, the 30-year-old that was shot is blaming the police. He says that he wasn't in CHOP. He was outside the area. And if it wasn't for the people at CHOP, he would have died. Now, he can't describe who shot him, but he says that he believes it was either the Klan or the Proud Boys. I'm not sure how he can figure that out. He did not talk about any uniforms or anything like that. The only reason why he thinks it's one of these two groups is because they use the N-word. I hope the Klan isn't around, and I really hope that the Proud Boys are not resorting to violence. I know that they usually are violent against Antifa, so maybe Antifa is coaching this guy on what to say. But in reality, anything is possible. I hope the investigation does shed some light on what exactly took place. Because deep in my heart, CHOP's official story just doesn't add up. I'm hoping that the country of CHOP has some investigators to investigate these shootings. I mean, they do have their own police force. I would think that they have their own investigators. Now, there's one place where homicide investigators are very busy, and that is Chicago. And you would think that there wouldn't be any violence because it is a gun-free zone, and criminals look at those signs and say, oh, it's a gun-free zone, we cannot shoot here. Well, that isn't the case. The Chicago Sun-Times reports 104 shot, 14 fatally, over Father's Day weekend. In one incident, a 3-year-old boy was killed. In a separate incident, a 13-year-old girl was killed. Out of the 14 that died, 5 of those were minors. Now get this, from 7 p.m. on Friday, May 29th through 5 a.m. Monday, June 1st, 25 people were killed in the city of Chicago, with another 85 wounded by gunfire. I want you to look up these same stats for every major city, like L.A., New York, St. Louis, Atlanta, and so on. They all tell the same story. Chicago had more shootings in one weekend than all police-related shootings in this country all year long. But where is the fucking outrage in Chicago? You seem to be able to blame white people for fucking everything under the sun, but you will not blame your own black brothers for killing each other in the streets. Celebrities will give millions of dollars to bail protesters out of jail, but not one is doing anything for inner-city youths to get out of gangs. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but show me one rapper that is doing something for gang initiatives. And you won't find many, because many of these rappers work with gang members themselves for security. Pretty sure it was in the late 80s, early 90s, the hip-hop community came together to stop the violence. Today, you will not see that for some reason. I don't think many groups backed by George Soros wants to show the truth in what is killing black America. I think I'll get into that deeper when I record Generation Death Part 2. Now, another story came out about NASCAR, and I'm wondering if this is a Jussie Smollett 2.0. And before you jump down my throat, let's look over some facts. Bubba Wallace Jr., born in 93, is an American professional stock car race driver. He competes in NASCAR. He drives number 43. It's a Chevy Camaro. It's a very nice car. I love the Camaro. I can't help it. But on Sunday the 21st, NASCAR called him and told him that in his Talladega garage, they found a noose. And them and the FBI are going to investigate it as a hate crime. Instantly, the media jumped on it. I mean, they just had a driver quit the other day because he didn't feel that it was right to take away the Confederate flag. So right away, the noose starts spinning it as racism, racism. In your face, racism. NASCAR had to do something, so they had all the other race car drivers walk with Wallace's car for a great photo op. Well, the FBI already finished their investigation. They said that he wasn't a victim of hate. It was actually a rope knot attached to the top of the garage to pull down the door. And video surveillance shows that that's been there since October before he even took control of the garage. Now, I'm not sure how they just noticed it now, but it seems like that they just noticed it now. Now, Wallace says that he was relieved by the FBI's conclusion, but he's still questioning that report. There's always that but. He said him and his crew checked every single garage around them, and no one had a rope shape like that. Now, just that statement alone, I kinda think it's a lie. No other team can go into other garages. No one's allowed in those garages. The only way that we can figure this out is we have to see what he is describing as a noose. So I found the pictures. One, car 21 was in the garage in November 2019. Yes, it does look like a noose. It is to open up the garage, and there is no way, because it is at shoulder length, that anyone has missed this in the past. I strongly suggest you to Google Bubba Wallace noose. I want you to look at the pictures. I want you to see all these people walking by. It is at shoulder's length. How did they miss it all this time? And how did they miss it if they had to use that system to open up the garage? Now, him and his team say that no other garage has anything like that. I see an exact same one in 2017 at garage number 43, 2016 at garage 46, and 2019 at garage number 4. Now, I know how the noose can be perceived as a racist statement. But when you walk past this pulley over and over again while you're in that garage, and all of a sudden you discovered it, there's something that we need to look into.
When I did find out, I was very adamant on searching all the garages and making sure that this wasn't a garage pull, and ended up being one. But the photo evidence that I've seen and that I have in my possession of what was in our garage is exactly a garage pull. It is that is a noose. So it's you know, it's, I don't know when we'll get to the point to release that image, but it's anybody sees it, then it's alerting, and it makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
What he just said makes absolutely no sense. Let's listen again.
Of what was in our garage is exactly a garage pull. It is that is a noose. So
are all nooses garage pulls, and are all garage pulls nooses? I'm not understanding his logic here. Now, this came right after he called for the ban of the Confederate flag at NASCAR. I think earlier I said a week, it was actually 24 hours after. Now, people are calling him Jesse Smollett 2.0. Is that a fair assumption? I think we gotta look a little deeper into his words and a possible motive. And we will see more of that as the weeks come. And I will be right here to record on it. So I want to thank you all for tuning in. I should have another podcast episode up this week. So please stay tuned. Thank you and stay blessed.